Hello and welcome to the Swiss Connection. I'm Susan Masika. Switzerland has a new ambassador to the United States, Jacques Peterlou. Who is he, and what are his expectations as he prepares for this major diplomatic role? SwissInfo's Julia Crawford caught up with him just before he left for Washington.
Jacques Peterlou has a reputation as something of a colourful character. He's a former head of the Swiss Intelligence Services, a former ambassador to Kenya, and once had an organisation in Switzerland that tracked Rwandan genocide suspects. I asked him how he thinks he'll get on with the Trump administration in Washington.
I think it's not the role of an ambassador to pass judgment on any government of a country he's accredited to. And frankly, we deal with countries, not with governments. So far, the relationship with the United States of America is as excellent as it has ever been. We have a long tradition of being excellent friends, and I have not noticed any change with the new administration.
As I understand, President Trump more or less forced the former UK ambassador to the United States to step down because he said he couldn't work with him. Is that something that concerns you?
I was concerned by the fact that one of the oldest foreign ministries and one of the most experienced foreign ministries in the world was the source somehow of a leak that harmed the work of someone who was a brilliant ambassador to the US. From the moment harsh judgments passed on the president are public, it makes it indeed very difficult to work together. I really do hope that this is not going to turn into a tradition to have diplomatic cables leaked, because diplomatic cables are supposed to be for the government, to be informed for your government, and not to be made public for whatever political reasons.
And what about President Trump's habit of tweeting that played a role in this, I think?
More and more politicians worldwide are using the social media to convey their messages, and the last 2 days we've seen quite a lot of it between Brazil and France. It has led to a situation where the tone between countries is getting rougher, and that's not necessarily conducive to good diplomatic relationship. On the other hand, politicians are politicians first, and they are trying to reach their electorate. And nowadays, you don't reach your electorate only through the newspapers and television and radio. You reach them through the social media. So President Trump is one of many politicians using the social media to convey his messages. I think that's the future.
But do you think you'll have to keep checking your Twitter account to make sure that he's not saying things about you?
I do not think, frankly, that a Swiss ambassador in the US is important enough for to have the president of the United States tweeting about him. That would be really a little bit preposterous. On the other hand, I'm quite sure that all my colleagues in Washington and all ambassadors are checking the Twitter line of President Trump all the time, because it's a very direct way to understand what the president is thinking and saying. So I'll certainly be checking my Twitter account, but not for comments about myself.
When he was a spy chief, a journalist once called Peterlou the Swiss James Bond. The press have also called him a cowboy. I asked him if he thinks either of those images fit.
I think that all these things have to do with quite a distant past of mine, and of course, as a chief of mission in one, if not the most important partner and friendly country in the world, one has to keep another profile, which I certainly will do.
You've said, for example, that a good network is worth more than 100 reports. Is that something that comes from your time as head or coordinator of the Swiss Security Services?
It certainly has to do with it. I think that, and especially in the United States of America, networking is of the utmost importance. And being able to activate the right contacts at the right moment is more important than to write highly intellectual reports on what's happening in country, which doesn't, of course, mean that we don't have to write reports. Reports are very important, but the networking gets extremely important from the moment there is something happening, some sort of crisis, and then you need to have a what we used to call a Rolodex when I was younger.
You have actually had some trouble with justice with these two Kenyan businessmen that went after you in the courts here in Switzerland. Was
yep.
that a painful time for you? How do you feel about that now?
It was a very painful experience. Because prior to that, being a kind of a public figure, I had been attacked on various occasions, always on aspects of my character or whatever, which is okay. As soon as you are a public figure, you have to accept this. But it was the first time that my integrity was put into question, and this is really painful. Now, I was treated extremely well by my ministry, because my ministry knew exactly what I had done, and that I had done it on instruction. So they defended me from the first day. So this was really brilliant. But being dragged in the mud in the court of public opinion for 3 years until the highest court in Switzerland clears you of all charges is, to use an English understatement, an interesting experience.
And as I understand it, it was to do with some SMS messages that you sent, putting pressure, according to them, in order to facilitate a return of assets in a corruption case. Is that correct?
This is correct. This is correct. And then some of my messages were not exactly according to the standards of diplomatic talk, which gave them the opportunity to falsely, as it turned out, accuse me of illegally putting them under pressure, and so. But finally, the courts have decided, and it was quite a relief to be out of it, because for 3 years, you know, you suffer, but it's also part of the fight. If you are dealing with let's say dangerous people, you have to take into account that you might get hit once or twice. It's part of the game.
In the 1990s, Peterloo set up an association to track Rwandan genocide suspects living in Switzerland. It helped bring to justice five of them, one in Switzerland and four at the UN's Tribunal for Rwanda in Arusha, Tanzania. It was because of this association that he met his Rwandan wife.
She's a genocide survivor. We met in 98. I was running an organization hunting war criminals and delivering them to the International Court in Arusha. And she was a witness, and that's how we met. And she's very fond of the United States, and she's looking forward to be there. She loves the U.S. So like every diaspora people, she has quite a big family also in the United States. So do I, by the way. So it's also some sort of family reunion.
And do you have children?
We have a daughter. But she's being schooled in a boarding school in the UK, and she intends to stay there and to come for holidays to the U.S.
There have been quite a lot of racial incidents and racial tension in the United States. I mean, do you think the fact of having a mixed family and a Rwandan wife, it's something that helps you to understand and to want to pacify?
Living in a mixed marriage certainly gives one the opportunity to understand many of the challenges that non-white people are facing all over the world, and that's not only in the United States. It's certainly a very interesting opportunity. Being married to someone who at least for the first few years had to go through the rigmarole of getting a visa to be able to move at all from is also an interesting experience, to have waited in front of consulates and embassies for days and on end until you finally get to see someone who will maybe or maybe not give you a visa. That's a very interesting experience indeed.
And in terms of your personal interests. I understand you also like bird watching and photography.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct. I've been a bird watcher for the past, my God, 40 years, and a bird photographer for a long time. And the United States of America is a fascinating country in terms of ornithology, bird watching. It's a continent. But that will be my third or fourth priority, because first and foremost there will be the job.
That was Julia Crawford talking to Jacques Peterloo, Switzerland's new ambassador to the United States. Visit us at swissinfo.ch for more news and background about Swiss-American relations, as well as other stories about Swiss diplomacy around the world. We produce the Swiss Connection every few weeks, so follow us on Twitter or Facebook for a heads up when our next podcast comes out. Better yet, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or another platform to ensure that you don't miss any episodes. Thanks for listening, and thank you to studio technician Donnie Wheeler. Signing off for all of us here, I'm Susan Masika.
Hi, my name is Fabio Canich. I'm the host of another Swissinfo podcast, The Geldcast. I'm a journalist and lecturer on international monetary policies. In my podcast, I talk to finance experts, politicians, and people in the banking industries on money-related topics. This podcast is from the land of money, Switzerland. It is published bi-weekly on YouTube. Highly valuable content, but free to listen to.